This is the realest business show on the radio. We talk about how the issues in the news affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for these businesses. What does NNPC's transformation mean? Earlier this month, President Buhari unveiled the all-new NNPC Limited, which brings me to our business hard fact for today. NNPC is the sole importer of petrol into Nigeria, the largest joint venture partner in NLNG, and the joint venture partner of all IOCs operating in Nigeria. So NNPC is a giant. They're a giant in the Nigerian oil and gas industry. And before this month, that giant has been a government parastatal. Or maybe a group of parastatals. But now NNPC has been converted into a limited liability company in line with the PIA. And today we are finding out what that means for the company, what that means for the government, what that means for the sector, and what that means for Nigerians. My guest is the manager for strategy at Sahara Group, Jade Sola. Am I right?
Jade Sola.
Jade Sola. Yes, Onilenla. Good to have you on the show. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Balogun and Broad.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay. Lagos, if you have questions about NNPC's new form as a limited liability company, give us a call on 0700-993-993-993. You can also message us on WhatsApp 080-959-75805. We're also streaming live on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Balogun and Broad on Hard Facts. So let me start, you know, with the most obvious question, right? What is the purpose of this transformation? Is there any historical context? Is this part of a bigger event, a bigger occurrence? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, thank you, Sandra. I think that's usually a very good place to start. Just putting some context around, you know, how did we even find ourselves here in the first place? Like you said, you know, our big giants becoming an LLC. You know, how did we get there and why exactly are we going there? Mm. So there's a lot of historical context to it. It's definitely part of a bigger picture, which is the Petroleum Industry Act that was passed last year. Mm-hmm. So the NNPC itself has its own history and the PIA has its own history. Mm-hmm. And I'll just go through both of them very quickly to find, you know, why exactly we are here and where we're going with that. Mm-hmm. So the PIA, if you remember, was passed last year. It's been a very long time coming, over 20 years. So the first time the oil industry attempted to be reformed was under the ex-president at the time, mm-hmm. Olusegun Obasanjo, in 2000. And he had inaugurated this committee he had called Oil and Gas Reform Implementation Committee, mm-hmm. That was supposed to look through all oil and gas laws, mm-hmm. and streamline them and create like a jukebox for oil and gas industry regulation. Mm-hmm. This then became like the beginning part of the what we call the PIA today. Mm-hmm. By the time we got to Yar'Adua and Jonathan, you know, it had been passed to the 5th and 6th local government. And at the time, there was some back and forth around community and how to split. Anyway, we then get to Buhari's time, and they did make some progress in 2017 under Saraki, mm-hmm. and 2018 under Dogora. He was a House of Reps speaker at the mm-hmm, time. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the bill was passed in 2021. So it's been a very long time.
It's been a long time coming.
Exactly. It has gone through different governments. Yeah. They've gone through different iterations. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely like it's a solid piece of work, mm-hmm. if you spend some time on it. Mm-hmm. NNPC itself, you know, started as well in 1971. It was called Nigerian National Oil Company. Mm-hmm. And by Decree 33 in 1977, it was merged with the DPR at the time, mm-hmm. to become the NNPC we know today. And then today, what we know is that it's about to become a limited liability company, mm-hmm. under the PIA. Mm-hmm. And when you then look at, you know, how do these things, two things merge? You know, what exactly is the bigger picture? The PIA itself, it's a very interesting act, and it pushes to do three things, really. The first thing is to define, you know, governance and administration. How exactly do we govern, and, you know, how exactly do we operate the oil and gas industry? It then talks about the host communities, you know, how exactly do we relate to them? And it talks about fiscals, which is taxes. You know, how much taxes do you pay? You know, what are your realties? What are your deductions, etc.? But I think what is important for this conversation is like governance and administration. So the PIA is very clear and says, look, you know, we need to separate governance from commercial operations. So he says there's four moving parts. First is the minister. He says, this is your role. This is exactly what you're supposed to do. then the commission and the authority, you guys focus on regulating the upstream industry and the midstream and the downstream respectively. It then says NNPC, you focus on commercials. So NNPC going forward is going to be focused on commercials, the commercial part of the oil and gas industry, and is expected to be a profitable entity. So I think overall, the entire transformation just revolves around moving NNPC from, you know, a government company into one that is, I mean, it's not exactly private.
Mm.
It's an LLC, but the role is, you know, manage the commercial part of the oil and gas industry.
Okay, yeah. but what is the precise nature of the change of NNPC's legal nature?
Okay, all right. So that's a very interesting question. So it is still a government entity. It's still fully government owned. So it's not a private company by definition, because a private company is owned by private individuals and companies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can sell shares among each other as long as it's not IPO'd or sold in public.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a limited liability company. It's 100% owned by the government, 50% by the Ministry of Finance, 50% by the Ministry of Petroleum. But it does have some flexibility in how it carries out its businesses, how it positions itself for capital, you know, how it hires people, and how exactly it builds relationship with the oil and gas companies it works with. So it's sort of, we'll say, sort of a hybrid. It's a limited liability company, so mm-hmm. it's sort of a hybrid.
Okay, so it's a sort of hybrid.
Yeah.
Can you explain the difference between transforming a government corporation into an LLC mm-hmm. and privatizing one? Because I'm still a bit like iffy on the difference there.
Okay, so privatizing means taking out the government part of it entirely, and you know, taking it, selling it to private individuals or private companies, and it will no longer be a government company, and it's not a public company.
Mm.
But what they've done now is, it is still, like I said, it is still a government company. It's still 100% owned by the government, but the way it's designed, mm-hmm. There's a lot of flexibility around it. So, for example, they are no longer tied to the PPA, which is the Public Procurement Act, or like the Fiscal Regulatory Act, etc., that used to like slow them down and add some sort of bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the flexibility of a company like Sahara and ExxonMobil,
okay.
But then they are still a government-owned entity.
Okay. So they've got 100% investment from the Nigerian government because they're still government owned.
Yeah.
But now that it's an LLC, it no longer needs to comply with TSA,
mm-hmm.
with Fiscal Responsibility Act, mm-hmm. with public procurement standards. Doesn't keeping government assets without government oversight open room for diversion of funds?
I think that's a interesting point of view. But I will say that not much has actually changed. So it's still a government entity, and part of the PIA, which is the bigger picture, is that the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Petroleum, they sit together and look at all the assets the government owns today, put some sort of valuation to them, and determine which of them are moved into the private entity, into the LLC, which is NNPC mm-hmm. Limited. So what we get now is a change in the relationship on how money moves around. So, mm-hmm. for example, in the past with the JVs between NNPC, for example, and mm-hmm. another company,
mm-hmm.
Depending on their ratio of ownership,
mm-hmm.
what happens is you contribute your own quota based on your ownership. So, mm-hmm. for example, if NNPC is a 55% owner of an asset, they mm-hmm. contribute for 55% for the operations of that said asset.
Mm-hmm.
But because when NNPC was a corporation, they hold assets on behalf of the government. They don't own it.
Mm.
So when they need money, they get money from the government cash calls. And when they do sell the crude, the money is swept to the government federation account.
Mm-hmm.
But today, as a limited liability company, they are responsible for the equivalent of cash calls, mm-hmm. which is their own contribution to the asset.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the crude is sold and they make money, what they owe the government is no longer sweeping all the funds into the government federation. What they owe the government is two things. First is taxes and royalties like every other oil company, and then dividends. And second thing they owe the government is dividends. Because the government is the owner of the company, the dividend goes to the government as well.
Mm.
So those are some of the changes that are going to occur when you move from public to...
That answers my next question, because I was going to ask you, you know, how the NNPC's transition to an LLC will affect the nature of the JVs. For those of you who don't know, Lagos NNPC makes most of its money from joint ventures with IOCs like Shell. Under the law, the asset on the NNPC side of those JVs is the oil itself, and it belongs to the Nigerian Federation. Now, you're saying that it changes a bit. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yes. So today, the assets are held by NNPC on behalf of the government. They don't own it. They're holding it on behalf of the government. So what's going to happen is, part of the PIA is the two ministers sit together and they add value. They put a value to all the assets, both the assets and the liabilities that NNPC as a corporation has today. They then determine which of them are moving into the limited liability company. The rest of them are absorbed by the government because NNPC Corporation as is today is no longer going to exist. So now for the assets that are then moved into the limited liability company, they then sit on NNPC's books as the owner. So they're holding the assets by themselves on behalf of themselves. So in operating these assets, they have some flexibility in how they develop relationships with their JV partners. For example, you know, they're expected to incorporate the JVs, which gives them better flexibility. They can have a carry arrangement. They can do FTSAs. They just have a lot of flexibility around it. And again, you know, because the assets are now theirs, when the crude is sold, what they owe the government is taxes and royalty, like every other oil company, and then dividends, because the shareholders are the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Petroleum.
But that brings me to my next question. They're supposed to remit the bulk of JV Ventures to the Federation, right? Recently, there have been disputes about these remittances. and now they own the assets. Why should Nigerians trust that an NNPC that is now free from government oversight will not become even worse at remitting JV revenues?
That's an interesting view. But again, you know, what they owe the government as a limited liability company is no longer sweeping funds. Now, they own the assets by themselves. You know, in the past, they didn't own the asset. They're holding it for the government. So for every sale they make, they have to sweep the money into this crude federation account. But as of today, or after they become a limited liability company, just like every other oil company, what they do
just
is
you
pay your taxes.
That's it.
You pay your royalty. And then, you know, just like every other company that pays dividends, you pay dividends. But in this case, because the government owns the company, the dividend also goes to the government.
Lagos, let's have you join the conversation. 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. You can also share your thoughts on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. We've got Hector from Bonny. Ooh, all right. Hector from Bonny says, please ask... I don't know that she can answer this question though, but Hector says to ask you, will their recruitment still be by quota system? If yes, mediocrity will still reign. Well, she's not NNPC spokesperson, so she doesn't know one way or the other. Or do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something I can shed some light on.
Okay.
So as a limited liability company, there's some sort of flexibility to, I mean, what you're solving for is profitability and commercial viability. So, you know, although part of the PIA was that all the staff of the corporation are moved into the limited liability company, because it's now a limited liability company and it's expected to be profitable, part of what they're going to do in the next few years is some sort of skill gap assessment. I'm here today. I'm trying to be a profitable company in X amount of years. What do I require to go there? What sort of people do I require? What is my skill set gap assessment and how do I intend to fill it? So, for example, they could fill it by training their current staff. They could fill it by hiring experts in those fields. They could also fill it by partnering with a company that already has people with those sort of skill sets. So I feel like they do have more flexibility in the type of people they hire based on their new goal, which is profitability and commercial viability.
All right, let's take calls. We've got lots of people trying to join the conversation. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, President Sandra, good evening.
Good evening.
This is Chris. Our Welcome. Guest, good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
How come the NNPC pump price is higher than the one or other private filling station?
Okay.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, we heard that. Okay. All right. You want to take that? Again, she's not the spokesperson for NNPC. She is from Sahara Group. She is the manager for strategy at Sahara Group. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, good evening, sir. What's your name?
Good evening.
How are you?
Yeah. Hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. Welcome. Hello?
Hello, can you
hear me? Yes, please. Go ahead. Hello?
I can hear you, madam.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Just go ahead, please. We can all hear
you. Okay. I'm interested in the aspect of I'm thinking of this thing as purely commercialization, more or less.
Okay.
Am I correct?
Okay.
Yes.
Now, and we have a situation where government is still involved, but oversight is minimized as much as possible.
Right.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Right.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, and talking about appointments, okay, take an instance of where we are still battling with the issue of federal character. Okay, would there not be an oversight when it comes to issue of federal character, when it comes to appointments of this kind of business?
Okay.
That's just one area of interest. And is there a possibility that people who find themselves in that setting right now would corner it to their own advantage and continue in that line also?
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Yeah,
so you want to take those?
Yeah, I think I can try.
Okay.
So what the PIA has done is, you know, attempted to separate, like I said, regulation from commercial. So you have the minister, and the role of the minister is oversight. You have the commission. The commission is supposed to regulate the upstream industry only. You have the authority that is expected to regulate the midstream and downstream industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have NMPC Corporation, NMPC Limited, that expected to run the commercials. So there's very clear distinction. I don't know if his question is who is going to regulate. It depends. If it's upstream, then it's the... If it's upstream, then it's the commission. If it's midstream and downstream, it's the authority. And if it's general oversight, the minister has been tasked with that responsibility.
Okay. All right. We'll take a few more calls, and then I'll go back to asking my own questions. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Sandra.
How are you, sir?
You have Obara on the line.
Obara, welcome.
Yes. I want to quickly answer the Chris question. Say, why the NNPC pump price is higher than some other... filling station. The reason is when you see an NPC logo, those ones are the pump price is higher. It means that those are the filling stations that are the franchise. They are not directly. You see the NNPC logo on there, but it is not the NNPC that is actually managing them. They concession them as to private individuals. Do you understand? So that accounts for that.
Okay.
They're coming to the NNPC and the PIA. When you look at the PIA, what government has actually done here is actually to deregulate, because the government own NNPC 100%. Unlike in the 1971 to before 1977, when it was the National Oil Company of Nigeria, the refineries were quite profitable at the time. As we speak today, Sandra, the NNPC is stalling four IOCs from relinquishing their onshore and shallow water assets. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the composition of the NNPC at the moment, they have so much liability. So I don't really know where the profitability is going to come from in the immediate. Then as when you talk about staff recruiting, it was also stated that the NNPC, the government, will not intervene. How? Look at the board of directors of the NNPC. Out of 10 members, 3 are from the south. Out of the south, 2 are from the southeast. The volume, the entire volume of oil produced in the entire southeast is not up to one single local government oil produced in the core Niger Delta. And the only Niger Delta person that is on that board is in environment. Do you understand?
Okay.
So I don't really know how this NNPC is going to be profitable in the immediate. When you look, a whole lot need to be reorganized in the NNPC before. I have not seen it. I'm talking in practical sense, because I've been inside the NNPC and I know what goes on there. You cannot run any organization that way, and you expect to be. It should be profitable.
All right, Obara, thank you so much for calling. Obara, sharing so many thoughts there. You can jump in from whatever part intrigued you the most.
Yeah, okay, all right. So in terms of profitability, I feel like the new NNPC Limited is a golden child. It's been given everything it needs. I feel like NNPC Corporation has been stripped of, you know, the overweight it had, you know, all the burden that made it a bureaucratic has been stripped from it. And it's been given like a very clear enabling environment.
Mm-hmm.
The PIA is very clear on how it's going to support NNPC.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when all the assets are moved into NNPC Limited. It's going to be a very, very, you know, very heavy market cap. There are very few companies that have that sort of assets in their books.
Mm-hmm.
And they then have the flexibility of thinking about how exactly they want to invest. And in my honest opinion, I think this is an opportunity for Nigeria to become the giant of Africa again.
Mm.
You know, if NNPC actually like takes on this opportunity, there's so much to be done.
Mm.
So for example, I always say that there's no better industry than energy. There's no better location than Nigeria or Africa. And there's mm-hmm. no better time than now.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an interesting time.
Mm.
There's a lot of things that just seem to be pointing Nigeria in the very right direction to going back to the being like the giant of Africa. So a good place to look at it is, for example, if you look at the energy gap, there's about 7 billion people in the world. Mm-hmm. 1.3 are African.
8 billion by the end of this year.
8 billion. So about 1 out of 6 or 7 people is an African.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the expected population growth, we expect that in the next 10 to 20 years, about 1 out of 5, 4 people are mm-hmm. going to be African. And mm-hmm. if it continues that way, by the turn of the century, 1 out of 3 people are African.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then if you look at the, today, if you look at the energy gap in Africa, we are housing about 13% of the world, but the energy available is only 3%. So it's really a 10% gap there.
Mm-hmm.
So population is one thing. You then look at, you know, we're not only growing in number, we're also urbanizing. So what you find is like in 2010, 2015, in the entire Africa, there was maybe like 5 cities that had over 5 million people. So you had like Lagos, you had Luanda, you had Cairo in Egypt.
Mm.
When the next 10 years-ish, by sometime around 2030, we expect 17 cities. People are moving to cities. So we mm-hmm. expect about 17 cities, including places like Kano, Ibadan, Addis Ababa, mm. Ouagadougou. Everybody's going to have more than 10 million residents.
Mm.
And of course, when people move like literally from the village to the city, mm-hmm. there's a lot more pressure on the energy resources.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so the gap is there. The energy resources, you know, there's a big gap. So there's just a lot of opportunity for NNPC Limited. And mm-hmm. NNPC Limited is not only going to be doing oil and gas, they also expect us to do renewables and new energies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's energy for today and energy for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunity to position themselves for that. So for example, you know, Nigeria has very significant gas assets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for you to position yourself with the whole global net zero, lower decarbonization.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to attract investors, you have to be very clear about your decarbonization plan
mm-hmm.
and you know how you're going
to. Is NNPC very clear about it right now, or is it too soon?
It's too soon. Mm. It's too soon. There's just a lot of opportunity. So again, this movement to an LLC, it's a door open.
Mm-hmm.
It's not everything given to you, just a door open mm-hmm. for opportunity.
So it's now going to depend on the NNPC to walk through the door.
Exactly. But I feel like, you know, the door is open. You have everything you need. It's just like go ahead and just shine.
Just be a golden child.
Exactly. Just
let us see your halo.
Exactly. Just prosper. Like so just to round up on Africa,
mm-hmm.
there's so much opportunity for us. So for example, on the renewable side, a lot of money has been coming to Africa,
mm-hmm.
but it's just that the money is going to South and North
mm-hmm.
Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, between 2000 and 2009, about 5 billion of money came to invest in renewables, and in the next 10 years, about 55 million came.
Mm.
So within a 10-year gap, the investment went up 10 times
mm-hmm.
and I believe the money is still going to keep coming.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, you know, how does NNPC position themselves to partner with these renewable energy companies?
Mm.
On the oil and gas side, again, you have to be very clear about your decarbonization plan if you're going to attract investors.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Total and the Uganda and Tanzanian government have been able to bundle a $10 billion deal, all because they were able to be very clear about how they're going to produce in East Africa with less carbon, how they're going to extract LPG, you know, to take advantage of the fact that a lot of people were using biomass. You
mm-hmm.
know, so if you switch from biomass to LPG, there's less carbon. So again, as long as you're very clear about what your plans are in terms of decarbonization, in
the
terms
sky
of
is the beginning.
It's so many opportunities.
All right, so let's hold that thought. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll keep talking to the manager for strategy at Sahara Group, Jadesola Oninelna. She'll be talking to us some more about what it means that NNPC has transformed into an LLC. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.
A living. You probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the $1 billion valuation of
Balogun and Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigerian Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of
and Balogun Street.
The maximum I will spend on fuel so on throw was 4,000.
On Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to the Realest Business Show on the radio, on Balogun and Broad. We talk about how the issues in the news affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for these businesses. Today, what does NNPC's transformation mean? I have on the show with me the manager for strategy at Sahara Group. Her name is Jade Sola Onilenla, and she's been talking to us about what this means for Nigerians, for the sector, for the government, for the company. Now, lots of people who have called Jade Sola during the first half of this conversation have wanted to know, okay, how far recruitment? And I think I'm going to streamline that question and ask this instead. As an LLC, NNPC should have the power to hire and fire. However, most of its current staff are public servants or civil servants employed under stringent rules, right? So what happens next for them and their terms of employment?
Okay, that's a good question, and it's one of those things that there's a start to it, and there's also a lot of opportunity down the line. So the PIA is very clear about the transition of staff from NNPC Corporation into NNPC Limited. But again, as a company that is solving for profitability and commercial viability, you know, I'm confident that at some point there's going to be some sort of skills assessment gap. You know, we're trying to be a profitable company. This is where we are today. This is where we're going tomorrow. These are the sort of skill sets we need now. You know, there are so many ways. There are three different ways you can go about it. Do I want to train the people I have today? So if, you know, it just requires sharpening the skill set they already have, you know, you could do that. You could decide to hire more people, probably experts in the field you are looking at. You could also look at, part of the flexibility is also developing some sort of partnership with maybe technically savvy companies that have the skill sets you require, you know, so they can bring that to the table while you bring the assets or something else you bring. So I think there is a lot of flexibility. I don't think like it's a case of they're forever encumbered with the staff they have. There's potential for exploration, there's potential for expansion, and there's also potential for partnership to bring in the kind of technical skill sets they require.
I mean, a few hours ago, I believe it was yesterday, we heard that NNPC was offering exit packages to 500 employees who were willing to exit. They were also debunking reports on a mass sack of workers. But strategically, which of NNPC's current units should be retained by a profit-driven LLC, and which ones do you think should be discarded?
Okay. All right. That's a very interesting question. And it's one of those things where you can't really dictate clearly what the output is. What you can do is, you know, have confidence in the process, in the selection process. So the PIA is very clear. These are the assets NNPC Corporation has today. I put a value to all of them. I'm confident it's a very solid team. It's publicly available information. There's a team of consultants, it's a law firm, it's NNPC themselves sitting down to actually pull value to these assets, both the assets and the liabilities, and they will then determine the ones that are going to move into the limited liability company. So while today, I mean, we don't have access to all the assets and all the valuation, but we do know, you know, they will probably have some sort of scientific criteria for asset selection, which I believe they're going to be very clear about. But you know, we're unable to dictate whether or not which of the assets. We can't start pinpointing which assets, because you know, all you see is the asset. You don't know the liability behind it. You don't know what their drivers are. Again, they're solving for profitability, and I know that will always be key in their asset selection, but it's going to be a very scientific process, and the team they've put in charge is a very solid team, so confidence in the output for that.
When we were talking earlier on, you said the Petroleum and Finance Ministries will decide which assets should go to NNPC and which ones should stay with the federal government. In your expert opinion, which assets will end up with which entity?
Again, you know, those are no questions we can answer. What we can just trust is the process. There's going to be a very technical process to it, you know, some sort of valuation. Again, they're solving for profitability and commercial viability. So that will always be the top line in their asset selection. But again, I'm very confident the team they put together, very solid consultants, very solid law firm, very solid valuation companies. So by the time they're done with that, they have like a basket of assets. They then begin to pick and choose which fits their end goal, which is profitability and commercial viability.
Okay, what happens if NNPC takes a series of losses and starts to go under now that they are an LLC and they're supposed to run as a commercial entity? You know, do you think the government will resist the temptation to offer bailouts?
I mean,
golden baby. You said so yourself.
Yeah.
Your words.
Yeah. Yeah. So I strongly feel like with the sort of assets that are going to be put there, the sort of structure that have been put in place, there's so much opportunity for profitability that I don't envisage that, you know, they're going to be like a loss-making entity.
What if?
Yeah, I mean, I think at that point you'll be left to the government and NNPC to sit and have like a brother sister discussion.
I like that brother sister discussion. Do you think the federal government will do an IPO like Saudi Arabia did with Aramco?
I don't think it's impossible. Probably, maybe not in the short term because there's a lot of work to be done before then. But I wouldn't say it's totally out of the picture. But maybe sometime in the future. But there's no clear path. There's no clear path yet towards that. But I won't say it's totally out of the box.
Well, people are calling, but sorry, I have questions. I'll take your calls. Calm down. So in the first 4 months of this year, federal government's oil revenues were only 48% of the expected figure. And a big reason of this is oil theft. If the federal government with its security assets cannot protect its oil assets, can NNPC Limited be expected to?
To a very large extent, you know, the oil theft issue is a general oil and gas. It's not like it's specific to certain assets.
It's a sector problem.
Exactly. It's a sector problem. It's a very heavy sector problem. But there's been a lot of back end work into looking at how to solve for that. You know, private companies I know are also trying to create, you know, entities that solve for that sort of theft. But I do believe that, you know, NNPC is also subject to what the general oil and gas public sector is set
facing
up for. So until we get to the point where we have a sort of common solution for everybody, I think it is a general problem.
Do you think that those figures discourage potential partners?
I mean, everybody is careful about where they put their money. But, you know, everybody has to be careful about where they put their money. But again, you know, NNPC, with what they have today, with the assets that are going to be put in their books, there's apart from oil itself, there's potential for gas investments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of incentive in the PIA for that. So, for example, if it's crude, you pay 12. You could pay up to 12.5% in royalty. But for gas, if you're onshore, you pay 7.5. If you're offshore, you pay 5%. If you use the gas domestically, you pay only 2.5. So there's a lot of incentive for gas and the use of the gas domestically. There's also renewables, which is the energy of the future. I mean, there's definitely a decline in the demand for the use of oil. There will potentially be a decline in the demand for the use of gas. But, you know, what we do require is power, you know, clean energy. And NNPC has, you know, been given the saddled with responsibility of making this happen for Nigeria. So there's a lot of things we can do.
It's interesting that you're talking about renewables. So my station organizes a debate tournament. And during the auditions, one of the debate topics was developing countries should have the same carbon emission standards as non-developing countries. I wonder what you think about that.
Okay, so if we look at
you're about to give them exposure.
Yeah, so I mean it's a topic I find very interesting and I'm just generally very passionate about.
Okay,
so
okay.
Part of the basis of net zero is equality and equity, which is, you know, you shouldn't carry more weight than you're responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
Africa is only responsible for a very small part of the global world emission. So we definitely shouldn't be subject to the same speed. You know, if the countries that are responsible for most of the emissions, if they slow down their emissions within the next 5 to 6 to 7 to 10 years, it'll take them maybe 10 to 15 years before they get to Africa's rate of emission. Second thing is, again, this Africa is going through the whole energy gap thing. We're housing 13% of the world. We only have 3% of the energy infrastructure. Our population is expected to double so our population is doubling. Most of our people are youth, people are urbanizing. There's so many, and we are full of oil and gas. We do have oil and gas. So I do believe that there's opportunity for us to focus on what we have before we get what we want. We forget that apart from energy, a lot of the revenues of African countries comes from the sale of oil and crude. So if you want us to invest in renewables but you don't want us to produce oil and gas, where are we even going to get the money to invest in the renewables? So I'll say there's an opportunity for transition, which is African countries we hold you responsible to produce in a decarbonized manner. Be responsible about it. You know, African countries should be allowed to produce their oil and gas, you know, as long as they're very clear about their, I mean, no one is even going to, if you're trying to raise money, you have to be very clear about your decarbonization plans and your, you know, focus on gas. So African countries should be allowed to optimize what they have, which is oil and gas, you know, while, you know, raising money both from the sales of the oil and gas and through external investment to then invest in renewables, which is the energy of the future. So we do have this Africa's reserve of gas is almost ridiculous, you know, and it's almost ridiculous. And there's a lot of opportunity even within gas to work as a clean energy transition.
Right.
So for example, Sahara has invested in four vessels within the past 5 years to just support that general transition. You know, we do a lot of gas investments on our upstream side. We're looking at some divestment opportunities, and we're very big on those that have gas, because, you know, that's the transition gas. So while you produce your crude oil very responsibly, you're very clear about your decarbonization plans. The gas as well, that's the energy of the future. There's so many opportunities. There's blue hydrogen, there's green hydrogen, so many opportunities. While you then invest some of those funds in more sustainable sources of energy, like solar, wind, water, etc.
All right, if you're one of the students who is in the pool for I Beg to Differ in August, you just got a crash course. By the way, we've sent out emails, so if you know someone who auditioned to be a part of the tournament in August, send have them check their email to see the topics that they'll be debating from the 8th of August. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You've been listening to Balogun and Broad on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're talking about the unveiling of the all-new NNPC Limited. And I told you when we started that NNPC is the sole importer of petrol into Nigeria, the largest joint venture partner in NLNG, and the joint venture partner of all IOCs operating in Nigeria. So they are a giant in the Nigerian oil and gas industry. And before this month, they were a government parastatal, right? But now they've been converted into a limited liability company in line with the Petroleum Industry Act. And today we have found out what that means for the company. We found out what that means for the Nigerian government. We found out what that means for the sector. We've also found out what that means for Nigerians. We have had on the show with us the manager for strategy at Sahara Group, Jadesola Onilenla. Let's come to you now, Lagos, for your questions, your thoughts, your contributions. 0700-993-993-993. WhatsApp is 080-959-7585. We're streaming live on Facebook, so we'll read your thoughts as well as soon as you share them. Ebi Ambo, for instance, on Facebook says, the optimism of your guest on NNPC, now a limited liability company, is very impressive. I hope her analyses are not mere hypotheses, or in other words, mere academic explanations on the possible prospects for the transformed NNPC. Very rare to find a Nigerian outside of the ruling party with such optimism now that everything about Nigeria is falling apart. Finally, will this new move end the wanton theft of Nigeria's crude? Well, we've addressed that. Let's take this message here from Alaba Alakpe, who says, tell your guests the ordinary Nigerians are not interested in all this grammar. Your guests should tell the ordinary Nigerians what will be their benefits in all the processes made so far. I personally love the development, but what will be the benefits for Danfo drivers, Okada riders, barbers, and those who mostly use this product? Okay. We've got Nelson, who says, on NNPC, a waste conduit pipe, mom is my word. Aramco of Saudi Arabia is a perfect example. NNPC refineries are all inactive. Okay. Here's a message on WhatsApp from Samson, who says, this story sounds like NEPA's transformation to PHCN, then to where we are now. Forget the change of name, please. All right, Samson. Someone here is asking about recruitment and corruption. How will it be curbed in a country in a corruption dominant industry? Okay. We've got this one from Johnson in Apapa, who says, what if the NNPC Limited doesn't declare profit? Does this mean that Nigerians are being taken as mumu? Is it possible that they won't declare profit? We've got a message here from Wale. Wale says, why did you call it dividend sharing? It sounds like PLC.
Okay, so the limited liability company is expected by the PIA, apart from paying its taxes and royalties, to keep about 20-25% of its profits into reinvestments and then pay the rest out as dividend to shareholders. And the shareholders in this case is the government. Hmm. Yeah, so I hope that answers your question.
Okay, let's come to the phone lines now. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show, sir. What's your name?
Good evening, our ambassador, President Sandra Ezekwesili.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
Once again, my name is Godwin, calling from Loshoro Lakwe.
Godwin, welcome.
Well done for a good job you are doing there.
Thank you.
As much as well said by the expert this evening with you, we are all here in this country where NNPC, lot of money, this bank into it in the name of renovation and whatever name. And year to year, no result. We have workers there that have been paid bogus salary allowances, yet no production for the end user. And today, a nomenclature is being brought in. Am I sure that it is the European, I mean, the from American or Indian or Japanese that are coming to manage it, that the Nigerian system, as our elite, which they are known for only killing, eating, corruption at the highest order without conscience or fear of God? Am I sure this is not going to be take a carry over to that side, but with a different nomenclature? And the same people who are into the killing of the societies and the growth of this country not going to be the one to rule them? Good evening and well done, Sandra.
All right, Godwin, thank you very much. I'm not sure there was a question in there. He was just sharing his thoughts on the entire process. Thank you so much for calling, Godwin. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
My name is Charles. I'm calling from Maja.
Welcome, Kevin. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I do not share the optimism of your guest.
Okay.
We have an old wine in a new bottle. An old wine that is full of corruption. An old wine that is full of ineptitude. An old wine that is full of bureaucracy. An old wine that is very wasteful. As far as I'm concerned, what I expected is that if they are really serious, they should push in private sector people in oil and gas that have proven their worth in the industry. Those are the people that should lead NNPC Limited, not the current crop of people that we have there that have destroyed NNPC. What are they going to do? What new thing are they going to do in that place? There's no hope as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. For calling. You know, I understand what you know, the listeners are saying. I understand the concerns that they are sharing. But like you've said numerous times, they are now set up as a company that can only survive if they're profitable. Do you think that they will get in their own way of staying alive?
I mean, I don't see any reason to. You know, all the elements that, you know, limited its ability to do certain things have been taken away and replaced with like wings to fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supported by, and and you've been and they've been given the wings to fly. Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, I hate to be like the the sunshine,
like the ray of sunshine.
Yeah, exactly. But I do feel like, you know, it's been set up for success. You know, all the factors that have slowed it down in the past have been taken away. It's been replaced with, you know, very clear expectations and also support for those expectations via the PIA. So I do think it's something we should be enthusiastic about.
Okay. Yeah. We've got 3 minutes, more or less. Do we even have 3 minutes? Yes. Okay, we've got 1 minute. So that's enough time to maybe take one final thought, and then we'll let Jade go. Yeah. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. How are you? Alex here.
Alex, thanks for calling. Good to have you on the show.
Yes. So, you see, I would like to be listening to Jade Sola's voice, you know, more.
I know.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like a soothing voice, you know, happy times ahead and all of that. But you and I are experiencing Nigeria today.
Jade is also experiencing Nigeria today.
You know that we don't.
She's a Nigerian, no.
No, I'm mean, come on. Leave those things. See, you know, Trinidad and Tobago doesn't have as much gas, have even 1/10 of the gas that we have.
Mm.
The way they deploy the local use of their gas, you never ever believe it.
Mm.
Every household has a direct benefit to the gas that they have in Trinidad and Tobago. I keep saying one thing, Sandra, I'll try and wrap up in a few seconds, that we should have a council of economic advisors separate from the Federal Executive Council. It's not a place led by politicians. We need real economists and technocrats to sit down and
talk about it.
No. What we have is still infested by politicians. For as long as we put the politics first, we always land on the wrong foot.
Alex, thank you very much for calling. We've got a comment here. Jadesola, you are such a great mind. Excellent job you're doing. keep it up. Concerning the unveiling of NNPC, I want to say that corn is corn, whether roasted or boiled. Ndo from Ojodu with that message there. Jerry from Raja sent us a long message, but unfortunately we are out of time, so I have to let Jadesola go, unfortunately. But I will have you back on the show. I loved talking to you. Thank you for being such a great guest. Jadesola is the manager for strategy at Sahara Group. Coming up is the news at 6. Once the news at 6 is done, Lagos, we will bring you the step down. On the step down today, at what point should your personal ambition take a back seat for your siblings outside the family, outside the house? The step down is where we just relax and, you know, stop talking about Nigeria's problems. Just chill, you know, chill and laugh and play. So 6:15, keep a date with me. Don't go away.